Ah, thank you. Wow, this is awesome. I was just thinking about just Mark and Sherry. I call them Nonnie and Poppy. So all grown-ups is always Nonnie and Poppy. But oh man, 13 years ago I think it was, and I was just running all around here, and this was my jungle gym, and you guys are sitting on my jungle gym. So yes. But hide and go seek under the pews. And then I remember coming up here and just like being down here and just not being able to see over the pulpit. And Mark, Poppy, comes over and picks me up. And I look over and I'm like, wow, this is what it looks like up here. And he's like, someday you might teach up here. I'm like, huh, no. It's scary up here. Are you kidding me? So I just was praying about what to teach on, and the Lord led me to Matthew 14, 22. So if you guys want to turn there, that'd be awesome. So I was just thinking about what I want to get from this message, and really what I got, and it's just pretty much up to you guys, whatever the Lord leads. The walk of faith, that's really what I got. And this story is about Jesus walking on water. Disciples are on the boat. Jesus comes to them. So start here in 22. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, and the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous and was he was afraid, and he began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat became oh, those in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Awesome. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray as we just get into your word right now, Lord, that you would just speak through me, Lord. I pray that you would just take my sin away, like this, just put my sin aside as a man and just speak through me. Lord, I just pray that you send the Holy Spirit to speak through me. Please let these be your words and not my own. In Jesus' name, amen. So, this is a great story of just Jesus's love. This is like I see the gospel in here, and it's just quite amazing. Here in 22, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitude away. Now, we see in John 6 why he sent the multitude away. It's because he just fed 5,000 people and they got really excited. And they're like, "You know what? This is our king. He just fed us, and so I'm going to make him my king." And Jesus is like, "No, it's not time yet." So he's like, "All right, disciples, they need to grow." Now, we see two types of storms in the Bible. They're the storms of correction, and that is when God disciplines us, and perfection, and that is when God grows us. So the disciples needed to be grown. And so he so we see here in let's see, I should look at my notes. And also the disciples, just because we obey God doesn't mean it's smooth sailing. It says in John 16:33. Let's just turn there. John 16:33. And it says there, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in the world. You may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now guys, God right here is promising us, all right, you're going to go through hard times. It's just life, and you know what? It's just going to happen. It's to grow you. You know, we all go through storms, but we see that storms bring us to the same place. Doesn't matter. To our knees and to Jesus. And that's where he wants you, is on your knees with your eyes on him. Now, it's just really cool. Like, I just heard this quote, and you are safer in the storm in God's will than on land out of God's will. Like, guys, you can never, it says, David sins. God said, do not count the people. David counts the people. And God says, all right, you got three choices. You can have like a plague, people attack you, and then other people attack you. And he's like, you know what, Lord, I want a plague from you because you are a just God and you will not punish me more than I need. So guys, even though we sin, God is going to punish us, but it's because he loves us. Now see here in 23, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And now when evening came, he was alone there. Okay. This is really cool. It shows here in Mark that Jesus goes up on the mountain to pray, but he can see the disciples, all right? And he's praying for them. It says in Romans 8, 34, he who commends, it is Jesus who died. And furthermore, it is also risen. He is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Guys, God is at the right hand of God, making intercession. Intercession means pleading, praying. It's God. Jesus is at the right hand of God, praying for us. You know, guys, when we are going through our time, we all go through our times. But if you knew that God was in the next room, like praying for you, how much more would you strive to succeed? You know, I just think of like, wow, God is praying for me. Okay, everybody put out your hands. Look at your, okay, span of your hand, pinky, thumb. God measures the universe with his hand. That's how big he is, okay? Think of that, okay? Now picture you somewhere in there, like a speck, okay? He's numbered your hairs. Think of that. The number of hairs on your head. That's how much God cares for you. It's amazing. Now, this story is a picture of today. The church is in a storm, and Jesus is in heaven making intercession for us. I love that. Jesus knows our needs. In our fears. He is in control of the situation. We see here that Jesus, okay, he sent the disciples out. Did he know that the storm is coming? Yes. God will never put you in something that he won't see you through. It could be sickness, finances, just marriage problems. It could be anything. You know, it's to grow us and test us. Here in 24. The boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now I love this. And John, it doesn't talk about like the wind being contrary. John was a fisherman. He was used to the boat. You know, he was used to the wind, the waves, and all that stuff. Matthew's a tax collector. Now that's a guy that kind of works in an office, and you kind of throw him out a boat and say row. It's like, that's hard work. If you don't exercise, it's going to be hard. And so he's like, the wind was against us. And, oh, I love this. And it was, it says here, okay, it says that it was night. So they're rowing at night, so it's scary. And like, if you've ever been in the ocean at night, you can hear the waves, but you can't see them. And so you're like, all right, here it comes. Here it comes. And you're like, oh, yeah. This is scary. And Matthew's a tax collector, you know. You don't become a tax collector because you're like the most athletic person, you know. And you don't have like friends, you know. Nobody likes you if you're a tax collector. It's just like, you're back there in the office and like, Netflix is your friend. Yeah. So I love this. The wind was contrary. That means like against them. So, you know, I just see us in a storm. It feels terrible, you know? And then all of a sudden, the world is against us. You know? They see we're not like them. We may, like some of us may act like them, but they still know that we're not of them. So they'll still be against you. You know, I was in high school, and I came freshman year from a Christian school, and I was like, Jesus! And, you know, but then, nobody likes Jesus, like in public school. And I was like, praise Jesus. And they're like, praise Jesus? No, that's too many letters. All we know is four letter words. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And I got like put down majorly. And like, I'm like, all right, well, what are you guys doing? And I'm just like, all right, I'll be like you guys. And they still didn't like me because I was not of them. I was of Jesus. You know, you may act like, you know, the world, but they still won't accept you. Here in 25, now in the fourth watch of the night, there's the night, yeah, okay. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Okay, guys, walking. Sea of Galilee is 13 by 8. They're in the middle. This was not just some like, all right, skip. He's walking on water. No, it was 4 miles of just Jesus going at it, just walking. And there's waves, and Jesus is just like surfing and on his feet. And so I'm a water guy. And so like me and my brother, JT, we spend hours trying to walk on water. Like I remember we'd see how many steps we could get. And then you would lie, I got 3. No, you didn't, you got 2. I got 3. And I'm like, no, you face planted. So, and also right here, okay, God walks on the water to them. Why did he walk on the water? To show them that he has power over their problems. The sea was their problem. God will come to you on your problem. Finances, all of a sudden, wow, Lord, you just gave me a job. Or it could be anything. Also in Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And though the rivers, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall flame scorch you. Guys, right here, this first line, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Guys, God is right there every step of the way. Have you guys ever heard of the poem, is it Footsteps on the Sand or something? And it talks about like, Lord, in the hard times, where were you? You know, in the good times, I saw your feet your feet next to me. But in those hard times, where were they? You know, I just feel so alone. And I love it. It says, no, my child. In those hard times, I was carrying you. Those footsteps were mine. And it's so true. Like, we can't make it through life without him. Here in 26, now when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out of fear. If the disciples had faith in Jesus to come, they wouldn't have jumped to false conclusions. Guys, we need to expect Jesus in the storm. Here it says, the disciples were troubled. No, that word in the Greek means terrified. They were like freaking out. like, yes, it's night and there's a man walking on the water. What would you think? I'd be ghost. I would say ghost too, because I doubt I'd be expecting Jesus to walk on water, you know. Just, you know, this is my teacher. You know, if I saw, you know, Pastor Mark, because, you know, Jesus was their teacher. If I saw, you know, Pastor, you know, Mark walking to me, I'd be like, oh, that's a ghost. But I know you too well, because we're family. And if it was me walking to him, he'd go, that is a ghost. That is a sinful boy. Oh my gosh. Okay. Fear and faith cannot live in the same heart, for fear always blinds the eyes to the presence of the Lord. 2 Timothy 4:2. That's not it. You know, when you have like pastors, like I've always like kind of grown up in the church, and they say, flip to this verse, and like, that is not it. I'm like, I will never do that, but I just did. All right, well, never mind. All right, here we go. Okay, we're in 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Wow. Be of good cheer. Cheer in the Greek could also mean courage. God has called us to have courage. All right? It's exclamation point. Have courage. Come on, guys. This is driving me crazy. It's just like, why are you freaking out? You're supposed to have peace. I've been with you for the last, what is this, been the last 2 years. I've been teaching you. I've been guiding you. And you guys are freaking out, you know. Man, I really want to use that verse, but I can't. Such a bummer. Man, okay, it's for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Yeah, what, anybody want to say that reference? 1 Timothy? I thought it was 2 Timothy too, but we're not going to worry about it now. Okay, so, 28. And when Peter answered him, saying, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Wow. Peter's a brave dude. Stands up to that ghost. If it is you, command me to step out. It's just, wow. Like, I would not do that. You know what? Praise God for Peter. And just the faith that he has given. But you know what? We see here, this is a good example. We should test. Okay, is this of God? All right? Something happens. You hear a message by a pastor or something. And you're like, wow, that was really awesome. Those points that he made. And it's just like, wait, no. You should go back it up with Scripture. The Holy Spirit has been put. The Holy Spirit's in us. He guides us, all right? And, you know, there'll be a little check in our spirit. Is that right? And just like, you know what? I'm going to go back it up. So if it is you, command me to come. So Jesus says, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. Wow. He walked on water. Like, that's... You know, that's just so awesome. I just think of like missionaries, and they're like, they'll get a word from God, and they're like, all right, God, is it like, go to China? Like, all right, is this really of you, Lord? and God says, yes, this is of me, go. You still have to make that choice. Am I going to step out with faith? You know, I love that. Hebrews 11, 1. Where it talks about faith, what Hannah said. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So Peter's really hoping he gets to walk on water right now. You know, I really have faith that I'm going to walk on water. He's like, okay, here we go. I'm going to step out. But it's not seen. All right? I think of Indiana Jones and the cup one. Yeah, the Last Crusade. And it has this, there's that like invisible bridge. And he has to have faith to step out, but he's kind of like, you know, that's so many times with us. We're just kind of like, all right, God, here we go. Yeah, Lord, I'm alive. I love it. Oh, my gosh. Guys, there's so many things in our lives that we need to have faith over. Like, the evidence of things not seen. The money's not in our bank account. We're down to our last nothing. And the Lord is telling us to give more. Don't you love that? You're just like, all right, Lord, I know you're telling me to give more to this mission, but Lord, there's this football game, and it's the championship. God, I got to go to this football game. Oh, my goodness. You know what? Guys, if God really wants you to go to that football game, it's a good test. You know what? Give the money to the mission, and if it's like a good thing, God will give you more money than you need. He'll provide you money for drinks. Just like, you know what? You were faithful in this. Here you go. I'll give you, like, money for a Pepsi Max. Get you amped in that game. Woo! Oh, my goodness. Here we go. So, you know, anybody can sit in the boat and watch, but it takes a person of real faith to leave the boat and walk on the water. So here we go, and we look at 30. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. You know, why did Peter start to sink? His faith began to waver because he took his eyes off the Lord and began to look at the circumstances around him. Guys, we're going to be in circumstances that just don't make sense. And it feels like the Lord is just not there, even though he's standing right in front of us. We have stepped out in faith, all right? Guys, hard times are going to come, even though we step out in faith, okay? But God is standing right there, all right? Picture a baby walking to his parent. He's walking. He's like, yes. And then all of a sudden, he starts looking around. He starts looking around, and he starts to wobble, all right? And he falls, and he, ah! You know? We see here in 31, and immediately Jesus, like, oh, no, wait, go back. And he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? You see that baby fall, and you see the father run over and pick him up and put him in his arms. Say, hey, I'm right here. Daddy's got you. Guys, that's the picture with us. Guys, we will fall. It's going to happen. You're going to step out in faith, okay? The next week comes, next football game, okay? Don't give to the mission. And you know what? And you're just like, darn it. Come on, Lord. I had such great faith last week. What happened this week? And you know what? God will come to you and say, hey, don't worry. There's always next week. You know, God is there to encourage you. We're not supposed to be that person of the next week. You know, you're supposed to be the person of now. But guys, if you lose faith in the money, money's a big thing nowadays. It kind of just runs everything. But you know what? We need to have faith in it because God, it's just paper. You know, it's just paper and there's more of it. And God will give it to you, you know, when he so desires to. But he'll give it to you in the perfect time. For God knows the perfect time that you need money. You know what? It said that God, his children will never have to beg for bread. Guys, God doesn't want you to suffer. He's our heavenly Father. Your earthly father doesn't want you to suffer. How much more than your heavenly Father doesn't want you to suffer? God is here right there. Got you. Papa's got you. He's holding you. All right? Act like it. You know? I just think I'm a terrified of, like, when I was little. Still am a little terrified of dogs. You know, because they're just kind of like, I don't know, they've got their own brain, they're doing their own thing. Like, you never know when your arm looks tasty. It's just, what the heck? So, I mean, I was little, and this big dog started barking at me and started chasing me. I remember I just ran it. I jumped in my dad's arms. I'm just, hold me! My dad's like, go away, dog. It was probably like a chihuahua or something. But still had a little guy. You're just like, that dog is scary. So, what? God's got you. You know what? The big dogs may come, but hold on to your Father, your Heavenly Father. He's got you. I love this. You know, the word faith is used 68 times in the Old Testament and 298 times in the New. I think God is trying to say something. Just 98 times. Faith, faith, faith. What are we supposed to do? Walk by faith. I'll just... Proverbs... I'll get there. Proverbs 3. We've all heard it. Too far. Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understandings. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Man's wisdom puffs up, but the knowledge of the Lord just edifies. Guys, we need to just focus on God. We just don't look at the circumstances around you, because they will only bring you down. Focus on God, because he's the one true thing that can save you. You know, also you see here, Jesus looks at Peter and says, why do you doubt? And doubt can also, mean standing uncertainly at two ways. Peter started out with a great faith, but ended up with a little faith because he saw two ways instead of one. So often we worry about the what, where, when, why. But we need to focus on the who. And the who is him. We need to focus on him, not the things around us. Don't put, okay, fork in the road. All right? Jesus. Whichever way is Jesus, let's go. You know what? Take away that other one. God's in it. He'll lead you there. He has put the Holy Spirit in your heart. And a map. What? The map? The map? Okay. That's awesome. Dora the Explorer. Really love it. You know, it's just, we wonder why our culture is going downhill. Have you ever looked at, like, Cartoon Network or Nickelodeon? What? Are we going to, what? You know, test scores are going down. You know why? SpongeBob. Everybody was like, I'm going to be like SpongeBob. I'm going to live in a pineapple. Under the sea. Oh my goodness. Oh. All right, here we go. We see this big point right here. This is big. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Wow, okay. Let's focus on they. They. Jesus, Peter, in the boat, ceased. Oh, wait. They were missing something. Jesus. Guys, when Jesus is not in your boat, it's like having not, you don't have a captain. You know what a boat does when it doesn't have a captain? There you go. Guys, have Jesus in your boat. Invite him. All right, I'm going to the grocery store. Hey, want to come, Jesus? Awesome. He's right there with you. All right? Hey, I'm going to the football game. Jesus, please come with me because we might lose. I might get angry. There you go. Guys, always bring Jesus, like, just everywhere you go. Oh. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. They worshiped him. It's so beautiful. After this, we see that, you know, I'm just going to focus on worship. Guys, worship is created in all of us. You know, we find ourselves worshiping pretty much everything. With me, it's shoes. I love new shoes. You know, I just start talking to people. Hey, want to see my new shoes? Just like, they're so awesome. You know, guys, worship's not singing. Like, it could be anything, just talking. It's just like a vocal. You vocalize it, you focus on it. It's you. Your attention is going to it, and you're vocalizing it. That's worship. And how often do we do that? You know? And so we need to just constantly be thinking about that. What am I worshiping? You know, is it Jesus or is it my shoes? And that's kind of dumb if you think about it, your shoes. So I need to work on that. But I love this. Here we go. Truly you are the Son of God. Okay. Back at Matthew. Matthew 8. Oh, wrong page. Matthew 8:12. This is the first time Jesus calms the sea. This is what his disciples say. Why am I just not? I'm not having a hard time. Okay, it's in different everybody's Bible. Am I in the right chapter? Oh, guys, I'm in chapter 9. That's embarrassing. Okay, now when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him, and suddenly I want to go to the end. Okay, this is what they say when he's calmed. Okay, Jesus, they get in the boat, Jesus falls asleep, wakes up, they're like, we're perishing. Jesus says, he calms the sea in the storm, and the disciples look at him and say, who can this be that even the winds and the seas obey him? They're wondering. Okay, so he heals all these blind and sick, and he keeps saying, I'm the Son of God, I'm the Son of God. And he keeps doing all these miracles. And I'm like, who is this man? It's so awesome. But finally, I bet Jesus was just like doing a dance, right? When they said this, truly, you are the Son of God. Truly, now we know. Truly, man, you had us going there. Man, right between Moses and Elijah. But you know what? Son of God. Oh my gosh, it's so awesome. You know, he will see you through. You know, in Hebrews 12:2, it says, just the beginning part, you know, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. Guys, he wrote faith, he will start you by faith, and he will finish you by faith. You guys need to walk in faith. That's it, right there. You know what, I love this. You know what, I just think we just should end the night in worship, in an afterglow. And so I'm gonna ask Jason and my Aunt Annie to come up and worship. But as they worship, they're gonna do a few songs. I would love if Pastor Mark and Pastor Josh would just, and wives, would just come up here. And if you guys need prayer to live your life in faith, I would like recommend you guys come to them for prayer, because that's where it starts, is prayer. So, guys, you want to just come up? Poppy? Nani? I'm just going to throw you on the spot. That's how it works. Calvary Chapel. I want to read this psalm. I just read this, and it just really just brought me joy. Among the gods, there is none like you, nor are there any words like your, no, any works like your works. All nations who you have made shall come and worship before you, Lord, and they shall glorify your name, and you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. We have one God. We need to act like it. Guys, let's walk every day in faith. Okay? Awesome. I'm going to pray. Let's worship. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and your mercy. Even though we stumble and we may fall, you are our Papa. You are our Father. You are there to pick us up. Lord, I just pray that each one of us would walk in faith this week. And the next, and the next. Lord, I pray that if the people, I pray if there are people here, that they would just not fear. We are supposed to have a power, we are supposed to have the spirit of power and not fear. There are people struggling with fear, their finances, with anything that may happen. Lord, I just pray that they would have a spirit of power. Lord, I pray that you would just put that power in them if they don't, they just can't find it. Lord, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You created every one of us. You created our problems, Lord, to grow us. Thank you. Lord, I count it all joy. Lord, as Paul wrote, I count it all joy when I fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of my faith produces patience, knowing that patience through its perfect work creates peace. Lord, I just pray that we'd have peace in the storm as you're there. In Jesus' name, amen.